Language fails to give an adequate description of the scenes in the coming judgment. 10,000 times 10,000 angels were assembled before a large throne, upon which was seated a person of majestic appearance. Several books were before him, and upon the covers of each was written in letters of gold, Ledger of Heaven. One of these books, containing the names of those who claimed to believe the truth, was then opened. Immediately, the countless millions of angels about the throne seemed to disappear, and only those who were professedly children of the light and of the truth engaged the attention. As these persons were named one by one, and their good deeds mentioned, their countenances would light up with a holy joy that was reflected in every direction. As the books of record are opened in the judgment, the lives of all who have believed on Jesus come in review before God. Beginning with those who first lived upon the earth, our advocate presents the cases of each successive generation and closes with the living. Every name is mentioned, every case closely investigated. All who have truly repented of sin and by faith claimed the blood of Christ as their atoning sacrifice have had pardon entered against their names in the books of heaven. Their sins will be blotted out, and they themselves will be accounted worthy of eternal life. The throne of judgment, eternal life for the saints. But we interrupt the flow of information for an affirmation in the things of faith. Quoting the scriptures, the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 18, in the revered King James Version. Other translations are equally usable and appreciated. Come now, says the Bible, and let us reason together. No ecstatic enthusiasm, common sense practicality. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. They your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Desire of Ages, that splendid book on the life story of Jesus, freely will God pardon all who come to him for forgiveness and restoration. Back to the Bible again, the first epistle of John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Two acts, forgiveness and cleansing. Seven Bible Commentary, 933. There is forgiveness for the least sin. There is forgiveness for the greatest sin. Psalms, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The minor prophet Micah says, quoting the words of divinity and referring to divinity, thou wilt cast all their sins, thou wilt cast, we can say, all our sins into the depth of the sea. And Great Controversy, that splendid book dealing with end time events, Jesus asks for his people not only pardon and justification, full and complete, but a share in his glory and a seat upon his throne. Quoting, of course, information contained in the sacred scriptures. The affirmation of faith, removal of sin, ultimately and completely. But we go back now to the story of judgment, and this time not eternal life for the saints, but instead eternal death for the wicked. John 3:16 says the same thing. Another book was opened wherein were recorded the sins of those who professed the truth. Under the general heading of selfishness came every other sin. There were also headings over every column, and underneath these, opposite each name, were recorded in their respective columns the lesser sins. Under covetousness came falsehood, theft, robbery, fraud, avarice. Under ambition came pride and extravagance. Jealousy stood at the head of another column. Malice, envy, hatred. Intemperance headed the long list of fearful crimes, such as lasciviousness, adultery, indulgence of animal passions, etc. And you know, the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy contain thousands and thousands of words, but very seldom is the Latin etc., et cetera, quoted, used in these statements. And this is heading there in this information. As the Holy One upon the throne slowly turned the leaves of the ledger, and his eyes rested for a moment upon individuals, his glance seemed to burn into their very souls. And at the same moment, every word and every action of their lives passed before their minds as clearly as they traced before their vision in letters of fire. Trembling seized them and their faces turned pale. In anguish of soul, each declares his own guilt. The book then closed and the mantle fell from the person on the throne, revealing the terrible glory of the Son of God. The day of God has not yet come, and probationary time is still granted to us in which to prepare for eternity. Thus far, three segments of significant information: the throne of judgment, the eternal life of the saints, affirmation of faith, removal of sin, the throne of judgment, eternal death for the wicked. And we can remember with gratitude the definition of a saint. The definition of a saint, as given in Holy Scripture, is a forgiven sinner. We now move on to the application of last day event information. And interestingly, yesterday afternoon, while my wife and I were out on a little shopping expedition, I happened to meet your pastor in the shop. And not very often do I meet your pastor, simply because when I'm here, he is somewhere else. And when he is here, we are somewhere else. And it was nice to have a brief chat with him. He tells me that he is very, very busy at the present time because so many people are sick, so many people have medical ailments and problems and operations, both in this congregation and the other congregation. And he says he's been kept very busy in visitation this way. And I commend him for taking care of congregations in this way. He expressed appreciation for the fact that we are visiting his two churches as well as others and presenting information on last day event significance. We're concentrating today on this occasion on the year 1844. Highly significant. Let's turn in the book of Daniel to chapter 8 and looking at verse 14. Yes, you've read this verse many times and it has been read before you on many occasions, but Daniel 8:14, 1844 is significant. And as I have declared on other occasions, another significant verse with its numbering in the Bible is 1 Kings 18:44, the ministry of Jesus in the plan of salvation. 1 Kings, he is our first king, 18:44. This time, Daniel 8:14, and it says here, under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And I read in the writings other information that is applicable to this statement found in the Bible. Story of Redemption 3:75, a fascinating concentrated compilation of biblical information. One sentence: but the appointed time came, and the Lord did not appear. great controversy, the computation of the prophetic periods, placing the close of the 2,300 days in the autumn of 1844, stands without impeachment. And of all societies upon planet Earth, I think the Americans know best of all the complete meaning of the word impeachment. It happened to someone in the White House a generation or so back. The computation of the prophetic periods places the close of the 2,300 days in the autumn of 1844. This stands without impeachment. With unspeakable desire, those who had received the message watched for the coming of their Savior in the middle of the 1800s. The time when they expected to meet him was at hand. They approached this time with a calm solemnity. Worldly business was for the most part laid aside for a few weeks. Believers carefully examined every thought, every emotion of their hearts, as if they were on their deathbeds. The time of expectation passed. Christ did not appear for the deliverance of his people. Those who had looked for their Savior experienced a bitter disappointment. These things are written in the history books of this country. God gave his people a bitter cup to drink to purify and cleanse them. It is a bitter draught, and they can make it still more bitter by murmuring, criticizing, complaining, repining. Those who receive it thus must have another draught, for the first does not have its designed effect upon the heart. If the second does not affect the work, then they'll have another and another until it does have its designed effect. This bitter cup can be sweetened by patience, endurance, and prayer. Daniel 8:13. Now, the verse before that gives us the key, and I have referred to this before. It's rather a longer verse, but one saint is talking to another, one angel talking to another, or in reality, Jesus, the archangel, is talking with the angel Gabriel. Revelation tells us about the ministry of the angel Gabriel. So does Matthew in the beautiful Christmas story. And so the conversation is being carried on, and one saint said to another, "How long will be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? How long is error going to prosper?" It's been going on way back there in history during the Dark Ages, 1,000 years of the Dark Ages. The European continent was benighted during that particular time. And so the question is, how long will error prosper? The answer is given in verse 14, a biblical answer, under 2,300 days. One day for a year, we know that in symbolic prophecy. But then this added corollary, which states at the same time an additional event will occur, and that is that the sanctuary will be cleansed. And so the information then is regarding the application of this information. The real question, how long will error prosper, is given at this time period in the middle of the 1800s, truth will be restored to the earth. Yes, the Reformation under Martin Luther and many other of those worthy men during that critical era of the Dark Ages, they began to re-implement a gospel tradition into a benighted planet. We are grateful for those pioneers in Christian ministry way back there in various countries of Europe and elsewhere who studied the scriptures and began to reveal scriptural content to the people. I read that there are three things that were required for the restoration of truth. One was the sanctuary question, Great Controversy 414. The sanctuary in heaven, in which Jesus ministers on our behalf, is the great original, of which the sanctuary built by Moses was a copy. And if you read the books of Moses carefully, you'll discover that at Mount Sinai, that rugged mountain in the rugged mountainous area, If you read the scriptures carefully, you'll discover that in reality, what God did was to show Moses a model of the heavenly sanctuary. And Moses viewed that model, and he used that as the pattern for the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness. The sanctuary truth was restored in 1844. The gift of prophecy was restored in 1844. In December, in the visions and the ministry of the spirit of prophecy back there at that time. And also, in addition to that, the Sabbath was restored amongst God's people upon planet Earth. You know the familiar story, Washington, New Hampshire, the first town named in honor of the great pioneer of this country, George Washington, the first place that was named after him. In 1842, there was a small group of Advent believers there. They formed a congregation. They built a building. 1844, the Sabbath was introduced in December. Rachel Oakes Preston was a Seventh-day Baptist and brought it to the Advent people. In 1998, the pastor, the Adventist pastor of that congregation there, hit upon an idea of establishing what he called the Sabbath Trail. They bought some adjoining land, and they made a trail through the trees, forestry area, the hills and the vales in this 1 mile additional area. They put in 31 sites giving the story of the Sabbath from creation down to the last days upon planet Earth. A little bit like, in a different way, the Creation Museum that you can see there on the edge of Cincinnati. The Sabbath Trail was dedicated 1998. Thousands of people have visited that and observed the monuments in the 31 sites. Now, Daniel, or should I say Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7, and we can read this verse here, tells us about the hour of God's judgment. Before Jesus returns in the clouds of heaven, he says, in the quotation and the information that is given to the Apostle John, he says that there will be a judgment before the second coming. And this judgment is to begin at a particular time period. Revelation, looking at chapter 14 and verse 7, read in the scripture reading. And it says here that the angel declares with a loud voice, "Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come." Es ist gekommen, as it is in the German Bible. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. You'll note that in a last day setting, the book of Revelation refers to creation on half a dozen occasions. In a last day setting, inferring perhaps that God knew evolution would come to the fore, and so he is announcing that creation is the true version of historic information as to what has happened upon planet Earth. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, mentions here in the information that is contained in the writings, Revelation chapter 12, and looking, or Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, that the book of life was opened and there was judgment. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Great Controversy 436. The work of judgment began in 1844. It will continue until the cases of all are decided, both the living and the dead. 1 Corinthians, the writings of Paul, chapter 6, verse 3. "Do you not know that we will judge angels?" During the 1,000 years of the millennium between the first and the second resurrections, the judgment of the wicked takes place. The Apostle Paul points to this judgment as an event that follows the second coming. At this time, the righteous reign as kings and priests under God. In union with Christ, we judge the wicked, comparing their acts with the statute book, the Bible, and deciding every case according to the deeds done in the body. Then the portion that the wicked must suffer is meted out, and it is recorded in the book of death. there is a third judgment. The first judgment is the investigative judgment, when those who have had a Christian involvement, their cases are decided and determined as to whether they are acceptable unto eternity through faith or whether they have not served the God of heaven. Secondly, the next judgment is the judgment of the wicked, which takes place during the millennium in heaven. And then there is the third judgment, which is the executive judgment, and this is Revelation chapter 20 and verses 12 through 15. 20, verses 12 through 15. John says, I said that saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to its works. The sea gave up those, and every man was judged. Verse 14, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. 15, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. We believe God, we believe the ministry of Jesus, and through faith we have eternal life. And by the acceptance of Jesus, we are spared from eternal death. Now, the judgment of eternity is based upon the Ten Commandments. Psalms 50, verse 6. Now, it might take you a little while to turn to that verse. Psalms are sort of found in the middle of the Bible. And it would be worth our while to look at it, because we want to emphasize a particular statement. Psalms, looking at the 50th Psalm, 50, and reading verse 6. This is what it says here in this passage of Scripture. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Speaking of judgment, eternal judgment. But it mentions here, the heavens will declare his righteousness. I read in Great Controversy, the book that deals with end of time events. Then there appears against the sky a hand holding two tables of stone folded together. The Bible tells us that in the Revelation. That holy law, God's righteousness, that amid thunder and flame was proclaimed from Mount Sinai as the guide of life, it is now revealed to men as the rule of judgment. The hand opens the tables, there are seen the precepts of the Decalogue, traced as with a pen of fire. The words are so plain that all can read them. It is impossible to describe the horror and the despair of those who have trampled upon God's holy requirements. The enemies of God's law, from the ministers down to the least among them, have a new concept of truth and duty. Too late. They see that the Sabbath of the fourth commandment is the seal of the living God. Only in eternity can we rightly estimate the loss of a single soul. There's a triple-headed mountain over there in the Middle East. I was there, I saw it. I have seen it from the air also. And if you turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 24, there's an interesting verse here, not exactly relevant to what we're talking about, excepting that divinity was involved, but it does refer to the occasion when God presented the Ten Commandments. Exodus 24, verse 9, and then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, those guys, look what happened to them afterwards. And 70 of the elders of Israel. Verse 10, and they saw the God of Israel in outline, in the shadow, in the darkness, in the thick darkness. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. And as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. There was a special platform prepared for the arrival and the presentation of divinity at the giving of the Ten Commandments. A paved sapphire stone, a deep, translucent, remarkable blue. Last time prophecy, Revelation chapter 10, verse 6. It tells us here in this information where the angel says, there will be time no longer. And the easy to apply statement would seem to indicate the end of the world is coming. And that's true. However, this verse has an application that is more significant than that. Because I read, this time is not the end of this world's history, neither of probationary time, but of prophetic time. God has given a duration for the events upon planet Earth. There is a prophetic statement that tells us from the times way back of ancient Israel, way down to 1844, 2,300 years. That's the finish of any lengthy prophetic time period, the symbolic application. After this time period, there can be no definite tracing of prophetic time. The longest reckoning of any time prophecy reached down to the autumn of 1844. Revelation and chapter 10 tells us here a little while after that statement where the angel says, after the disappointment of the middle of the 1800s, thou must prophesy again. And that is the work that is going on around planet Earth, where Christianity and the Seventh-day Adventist denomination are widespread. And there are thousands of people every Sabbath day who are worshiping God on the Sabbath day. The angel's position with one foot upon the sea and one foot upon the land signifies the wide extent of the proclamation of this message. It will cross the broad waters and be proclaimed in many countries, even to all the world. The gospel that is to be preached to all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples presents the truth in clear lines, showing that obedience is the condition of gaining eternal life. Christ imparts his righteousness to those who consent to let him take away their sins. We're told in conclusion of the information regarding the three angels' messages that was referred to in the scripture reading this morning. The third angel, proclaiming the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, represents the people who receive this message and receive the voice of warning to the world to keep the commandments of God. And in response to the warning, many will embrace the truth, the Sabbath truth of the Lord. The power which stirred the people so mightily in the middle of the 1800s, this movement will again be revealed. The third angel message will go forth with a loud voice. And perhaps I should read that emphatically. The third angel's message of the book of Revelation will go forth with a loud voice. The eighth presentation dealing with the year 1844. Nay, this one deals with 1847. And it begins on the next occasion of the presentation of the flow of time with the counterfeit era beginning. Counterfeit religious organizations upon planet Earth beginning in the year 1847. My wife and I are scheduled to be back again July 23. That's a long way off, isn't it? 2016 is the year. July 23 is the Sabbath date. And our intent is that we will continue the flow of time and we will present the counterfeit era beginning in the year 1847.